Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. It's finals time. It's upon us. Today, the grand final entertainment, John Worsfold's future, whispers about Shannon Hearn, and we pick our four winners from the first weekend of finals for 2019.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Hello, everybody. It's Thursday. It's the afternoon leading into the first final of the 2019 AFL season. Glenn Quartermain and I are about to do the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. But you might think that the final tonight at Optus Stadium is the biggest event that's taken place in Perth this week, but it isn't. At the Bazoo Bar in West Perth last night, the biggest event...
Proudest moment of my life, Duff.
The proudest moment of Sunday Times sports editor Glenn Quartermain's life was when he was part of a dominant performance.
Unbeatable.
At the Seinfeld quiz night.
You've heard of the US Dream Team in basketball?
Yep.
Well, Rick Arden assembled a team last night that was the dream team of Seinfeld quiz nights. And we were unbeatable last night. We got four questions wrong out of about 70. And the four we got wrong, we had two answers. We just chose the wrong one. So
now, of course, no Seinfeld quiz night would be complete without some behaviour that's a little bit off. Mm-hmm. You were asked to divide your table up because there were a few tables that were short of numbers. Well, what was your response?
Well, we had 10 people and there were a few tables that had three or four.
Yes.
And we were asked by the very nice lady who's running the quiz night, would you mind, you know, sharing a few numbers around so you can even up the tables? And I said, well, look, in the spirit of Seinfeld, no. Because we're here to win. We don't care about other people. There's no good Samaritan law here. We just want to win. This is the greatest assembly of mine. So, she said, okay, and walked off and we smashed everyone.
Now, just in case you're wondering how much of a Seinfeld tragic Glenn Quartermain is, Quarters, you once did a Seinfeld tour.
I did in New York, but Kenny Kramer, the real Kramer, who Larry David modelled the character Kramer on, we're on a bus going to heading to the New York Racquet Club, and he said,
Wait. Now, Quarters is going to give us the answer to this before the end of the podcast.
Yes, I will.
But Quarters, what was the question you were asked that you answered?
Yes, so some of our listeners can perhaps try and answer it in their heads if you like. It was, Newman, Kramer and George were behind the diner buying a black market shower head. What was the model of the name of the model of the black market shower head? And I won't give the answer, but I'll just tell you this. Might have been the previous most proudest moment of my life because I got it and Kenny Kramer threw me a box of junior mitts and said, sir, you are good. I sat down. I was very proud.
Up until last night, that was the proudest moment.
That's up until last night, yeah.
Proudest moment.
Mind you, I was stunned by the collective genius of the table. And I'll tell you what, Rick Arden knows a bit about Seinfeld. I can tell you that much. He's the full bottle on it.
Okay.
Anyway, we digress.
All right, moving right along. Finals tip-off tonight, Optus Stadium, 6:10 p.m, West Coast versus Essendon.
Beautiful day outside, isn't it? Great. Finals
and
upon us.
Quarters, something that's happened today, they've announced the grand final entertainment
as
well.
Yes, look, I'll get on my high horse here. I'm going to say bravo AFL, well done. So it's an all-Australian lineup this year. Paul Kelly, who I reckon you'd be about evens to perform leaps and bounds, his great tribute to the MCG. He should be doing that every year, Duff. There'd be other entertainment as well, but he should sing that song every year. Dean Lewis, Tones and I, Conrad Sewell will do the anthem, and of course we'll have Mike Brady, and John Williamson will be doing the performing Waltzing Matilda. All Australian lineup. I love it. We should be showcasing Australian talent only on our big stages. The NRL does a pretty good job. This year they've got One Republic, an American band. So thumbs down for the NRL this year on that one.
So Waltzing Matilda is something that was a tradition at grand finals and then they stopped doing it.
Mm.
Wonder why they did that, and what is the reasoning, do you think, behind them bringing it back?
It's a great Australian song. It's a great Banjo Patterson, you know, but it's a poem, I should say. But I think it was just all about getting the international acts, getting the big acts over here and getting them on that stage and showcasing the event to the world. But I see it the other way. I think we should be showcasing our local talent. I think just it's an easy go-to, really. Waltzing Matilda, everyone loves it. Everyone will be singing along. Yep. I tell you what, they'll be singing along to Leaps and Bounds too.
So if Paul Kelly sings three songs on grand final day,
oh, here we go.
Which three do you want?
To Adore, Leaps and Bounds, and How to Make Gravy. I love that song. I can play that one too on guitar, do a bit of it myself at home. It's great.
That should be your proudest moment, not answering a Seinfeld quiz question.
Yes, it should be. So they'd be my three go-tos. Great performer, great Australian artist. Well done the AFL on that one.
Quarters, in today's West Australian, you wrote a very strong column basically warning Essendon about doing the dirty on John Worsfold should the Bombers lose badly tonight.
It's an opinion that I've formed over the course of the year. I was a bit worried about Essendon earlier in the year, but I described it, if the mutterings are right and they are looking, or Essendon people, in inverted commas, are looking to get rid of John Worsfold, win, lose or draw tonight, I think it would be a dog act. Because you look back at where they were, with the events of 2012, with the supplement scandal, this club was on its knees. They were ravaged. And he has managed to, I mean, this is his fourth year. Twice they've made the finals. And if you look at this year with their list, they haven't had their best forward, Joe Danaher, on the park since May. Devin Smith, their club champion from last year, not on the park since May. The injury list as long as your arm. Michael Hurley's shoulders are held together by tape only. Yet they managed to find their way into the eight. And you look at sides like Hawthorn, you know, take Tom Mitchell out. They've had a pretty good run with injuries. They're ninth, mate. So well done to John Worsfold to get that side into the finals. And I just think, what are you after, Essendon? I mean, this is a great response to where they were just a short period ago, 4 years ago. So I reckon it would be, they at the very, very least owe him the respect of serving out the last year of his contract if he wants to.
I like that column. And I guess my position on John Worsfold has been purely fashioned on their performance this year. And I think when you play finals, you shouldn't face the sack, particularly not when you're talking about coaching a team that has, basically not won a final for...
Well, I've got the stat. You'll be impressed. 5,479 days ago.
So that's back, what, in
2004. They 2004. Beat Melbourne by 5 points in elimination final at the MCG. So that's a long time ago. So this is not a club that's been showered with silverware or success in September. So you can just be happy at the moment that he's got you in there. If he gets a good run with injuries, I'll tell you what, they can be top four next year.
And I wonder whether, given that John has proven himself to be a very good people manager and a very good person and a developer, I wonder whether the key maybe lies in them not sacking him, but putting the right people around him to try and get a better
result.
That's
fine, no problem. But I just think he should be head coach at least for the final year of his contract. He has done a great job in galvanising that group. And you know what? Had no credibility 4 years ago. Zero, that club.
Yeah.
Now it's got credibility. And if you talk about he's not an Essendon person, well, look what happened when Essendon people were running that club.
Correct.
So I just think you should be thankful that he has joined your club and got it to where it is now.
Yeah, well said. And I think what John Worsfold has done is proven himself to be a very good football person. He was the one that put his hand up to go to Adelaide after the tragic death of Phil Walsh.
Yep.
Went on and got Essendon through that catastrophic year that they had when their players were banned by WADA.
Three wins, 19 losses, yeah. Basically a VFL side, weathered the storm and got them playing finals.
And also found a couple of players, don't forget.
Well, you know, Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody being one of them.
And Mitch Brown. Mitch Brown joined the club in that season and remains at the club now. He's playing tonight, isn't he? I think Mitch Brown's in the team. And may have an important job on either McGovern or Tommy Barras.
So
in playing
interesting
the defensive
segue for us too, Duff, to enter the first game. Of course, the first elimination final tonight, West Coast playing Essendon at Optus Stadium. And you had a column yourself on Tip and Woody. You think he's the key to them, or one of the
keys?
Well,
I think he's a barometer.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the key, but I think he's such a good decision maker and such a good ball user.
He uses it well, doesn't he?
When Essendon get out and get on the fly, the key is whose hands does it end up in when they're going inside attacking 50, because a promising fast break attack can turn into nothing, or it can turn into an easy shot on goal and a goal. And that comes down to who's carrying the ball through the middle of the ground. Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody gets up high and then pushes back, and he's a magnificent ball user and a magnificent finisher. So if the ball's in his hands, either when it gets inside 50 or when it's heading inside 50, that is a great result for Essendon. And I think that's why he's probably such a barometer for the team. He's kicked 30 goals this year, 26 of them in their victories and only 4 of them in their losses. I think there's something like 3-7 when he doesn't kick a goal, and then 9-3 when he does kick a goal in game. So that's a fair indication that his input is very important to them. I think the other one, Quarters, that I think is massively important to them is Adam Saad.
Well, I think they're halfbacks, full stop. I think that's where they get their run. That's they love to run it through the corridor. This is where the game will be won and lost. If you stop that, you've won the game, I reckon.
So interestingly, the player who played on Adam Saad in round 14 when West Coast beat the Bombers and beat them well was Mark Hutchings, and look who's back in the team.
Well, he goes to him.
We think.
Has to.
We think a week early. So yeah. That's going to be a big matchup, and it's going to be a big thing as to how Hutchings' hamstring is. Obviously, West Coast think it's okay. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in the team. And the other one, Quarters, is the other whispers about Shannon Hearn and whether he gets out there or not.
Well, whispers today are that he's not going to play.
Right.
So who comes back in? Is it Duggan? Has to be, really.
If it's like for like, it's Duggan, yeah.
I think so. So we certainly hope he does play. I mean, so important to that back line, and just to the stewardship of that back line is Shannon Hearn. But if his hammy's not right, you know, there's more bigger fish to fry. You would think, what we think, it's a 60-40 in West Coast favour?
I reckon it's a 60-40 game. In fact, you know, if I was West Coast, and we've had this discussion off air, and I know you think differently to this, I would have been tempted to go with the status quo, and I would have been tempted to give the bulk of the team against Hawthorn the right of reply in this game.
So you're saying Nick Nat waits another week?
Nick Nat, get another week of work into Nick Nat, and then assuming you're good enough to get this one done without, you know, changes and inclusions and that sort of thing, make sure Hearn's right, make sure Hutchings is right, get another week's training into Nick Nat, work him hard, and then try and take a 3-week run at a flag.
So Tom Hickey gets the ruck roll, Oscar Allen plays, provided, has he got a knee injury, Duff, or has he just been managed out of the side?
Well, if he's got a knee injury, it's something that's occurred very recently.
That's right.
And not in the public eye.
So let's say he's been omitted. That's the way I'm seeing it. Oscar Allen, he's very stiff. Very stiff. Missed one game in the home and away season. He's been really good.
Well, there was always one of Allen and Waterman were going to be stiff, weren't they? Yep. Because they've both been playing very well. That is one good decision they've made here, I reckon, is that they've made that decision, I think, based on team balance. You know, Waterman is a little bit more mobile, a little bit, plays a bit higher, less of a marking target. He will be, his role will fit better into the structure they're going to try and use.
I understand that. I would have played Nick Nat. I definitely would have rolled the dice on him. I think it's important for him. He lifts the midfield. Now, what game time he gets, we're not sure at the moment. Who does Dylan Clark go to? Does he go to Yo or does he go to Shuey? Are we talking about influence at the stoppages, or are we talking about influence with the ball in hand?
You know what I'd be trying to do? I always believe Shuey's the one you've got to get when you play West Coast. He's the exploder away from stoppage. He's the one that really slices and dices going inside attacking 50. Now, if you go to Shuey, there's a chance that Yo will get you. But I think given the contested ball ratings of both teams in the last game,
which are pretty poor,
very poor, I think Yo is going to get a massive job for West Coast today. He's going to be their grunt. You know, he's their big tackler.
As he always is.
He's their big body. Him and Jack Redden. Yeah. Jack Redden's been a bit off.
Yeah,
this
and
year.
So excellent column in today's West from Mick McGowan, who's saying two very important players, obviously, tonight. One's Josh Kennedy, who's been out of form, and the other, and he's backed him to return to form. This is a great, biggest stage for him to do that on. And the other's Dom Sheed, who has been a little down on form as well. So two important, very important players tonight. So I expect Hurley to go to JK, and I can tell you now, Duff, what I would be doing at the first aerial contest is testing out those shoulders.
Yeah, he'll get contact.
As he should. That's
absolutely
the
no doubt about that. The other one with Yo, and this maybe is a reason why Essendon might go to Clark goes to Shuey and not Yo, is that there is just a whisper that Yo's been battling calf soreness for several weeks. He was never really a strong prospect to miss the game, we don't think. But certainly there was a strong whisper the other day that his calves had come up pretty sore and he was going to have to be nursed into and through this game. So that being the case, as the great defensive coaches like a Mick Malthouse, like a Ross Lyon say, identify something you can take away from them and set your mind to taking that away from them. So, yeah, I send Clark to Shuey, try and nut him, and then whatever Yo does, Yo does.
And you can always go to plan B.
Yep.
So start that way. So having said all that, Duff, I'm going to tip the Eagles by about 5 goals. I think they win this game. And as I've said before, I think they can go all the way to the prelim. I think they can win next week as well. But let's get through this week first. And I think 5 goals, I think that would be a pretty good effort from Essendon too. Anything within that realm, I think, given what they've faced, and it's a final, they've got there again, but that's what I'm tipping. I'd say call it 28 points, Duff.
Yeah, I'm going to say Essendon should be within 20. And my reasons for saying that is I just think that there's going to be issues with West Coast in terms of getting through this game. And, you know, Nick Nat's going to be underdone, which means he's going to have limited game time. So when you look at your true rotations, you're down to 21. If, you know, does Hearn play? If he does play, again, that's another guy you're having to manage.
Yeah.
How bad is Yo's calf? That's another guy you may have to manage. How bad is Hutchings' hamstring? That's another guy you may have to manage a little bit. Well, you put up that all together, and to me, Essendon's job in this game is to get a toe hold and try and take it deep and see how long West Coast lasts and how well they last.
Essendon's in the same boat too, though. Don't forget, Hurley's got his shoulder issues. Fantasia has been unable to really get on the park and train the last few weeks. So Heppel's been on one foot for some time. So they've got their issues as well.
True. And I think West Coast will win, but I'm going to say by 20 points, not 28 points. Right, moving right along, tomorrow night at the MCG, Collingwood versus Geelong, or should I say Geelong hosting Collingwood at the MCG. Quarters, interesting weather forecast for this one. It's going to be raining cats and dogs, which may suit the cats.
Yep.
Who does that favour, do you think? And does that cancel out any of the home ground talk that we've been talking about?
I don't think so. Geelong plays there often enough. I don't think it does. I don't think it favours either side. Both pretty skillful sides. What intrigues me here is we've got the best defence against the second best defence here. So this game will be a ripper. I think it'll be low scoring, so it won't be a big margin either way. Relatively low scoring. I'm pretty bullish about Geelong at least having an impact early in the finals. Yep. What's their record? They've only won 3 of their past 12 finals, so their record hasn't been great. But they keep presenting, and I just think, I actually believe if Geelong doesn't win the flag this year, I know Chris Scott got in the front foot this week. It was really strange. He said, we'll be even better next year, but we're still going to try and win it this year. I found that those comments strange. It was almost as if subliminally the players have an out not to win it this year. That's the way I read it.
He might be trying to stave off that. Because my theory on Geelong is that they're a lot like Fremantle were in 2015.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are on your believe that too. I just think they're good enough to win this game, so I'm picking them. Not by much, by a couple of kicks. And I think they'll progress through probably to preliminary final week as well.
Yeah, I'm going to tip Collingwood. And I think both teams have ifs and buts about them in this game, as they did in the first game with West Coast and Essendon. Obviously, Collingwood has got they've got players coming back. Degoe, Stevenson, Darcy Moore. How do they go? How can they use them? Their forward line balance. Jamie Ellis just started playing really, really well. He plays from the goal square.
Stevenson's back in.
Stevenson, well, we'll know later this afternoon.
He should be back in. He's an absolute jet.
But Stevenson, Degoe and Elliott all like to play from the goal square, and they can't.
Yeah.
If they're all in the one team. So it's going to be interesting to see how they wrestle and massage that back into their team.
Also, this new look, the forward line of Geelong now, a bit more speed in it. We've seen this year with the likes of Myers and Dalhouse. Just see how they go on the big stage in a final. Really big question is, round one, Stanley tagged Brody Grundy. Does he do that again? Or do they think about Blissav's going up into that role? Because for me, I think Blissav's has to stay back and has to stay deep back.
To me, this is going to become a ground ball game. I was talking to my mate Goffey.
The great
Paul Goff.
Who now runs wine tours on the Mornington Peninsula.
He does. Yes. And I think a group of West Coast fans were very pleased to make Goffey's acquaintance earlier this year, and I think they stay in touch. One of the great footy people, Goffey, he was telling me on the phone this morning, it's going to be absolutely teeming down in Melbourne. That's the forecast. So this is going to be a ground ball game, I think. It's going to be won and lost on the ground. And I'm thinking, I just think maybe Collingwood has what it takes to get it done at ground level. We saw them against West Coast at Optus Stadium earlier in the year when they were able to drag the Eagles back into the trenches, turn it into a real scrap, a real trench warfare sort of a game, and they prevailed over the Eagles that day. I think they can do that to Geelong, and I think they can win and basically assert themselves as one of the flag favourites.
Yep. So you're going Collingwood, I'm going Geelong.
Okay. And I, because it's going to be wet, I'm not even worried about a margin on this one. I think it'll be tight.
Yeah, it'll be tight. It won't be big, high scoring this game anyway, I don't think. Even if it was dry, it would be relatively low scoring.
Okay. Now, I'm going to be very curious to see whether we agree or disagree on this next one. At Giant Stadium Saturday afternoon.
We don't. I've formed an opinion. If you asked me this 2 weeks ago, exiting round 23, I would have picked the Dogs. I'm going the Giants. The reason I say that, I just think the bye has come at the wrong time for the Dogs. I may be proven wrong, who were flying, and I reckon it's come at the right time for the Giants, who were struggling, but then had that Witch's Hat practice match in the final round against Gold Coast, ran Jeremy Cameron into form with 9 goals. I think if the Dogs, we know how they play. It's really quick, frenetic footy, but they give you a chance the other way. If the Giants can make this a stoppage game, which is where they're best at, and that's just where they get most of their scores from, stoppages. If they can make it a stoppage game, then I have real concerns for that Western Bulldogs backline against, you know, Himmelberg, Finlayson, Jeremy Cameron. I have real concerns because there's some talent in that backline, there's some height, but it's really a quick attacking half backline, full backline. So if they can get it on their terms, I reckon they can do some damage here, the Giants. I'm prepared to pick them. I just think they're too good not to at least win one final.
Yep.
Nothing against the Dogs, but they have expended a lot of energy in getting there. I'm going to pick them by a couple of kicks.
I absolutely take your point, and I think GWS have the potential to be a team really that should at least be in the third week of the final series. I just don't like what I've seen from them at the end of the year. I'm going to go with the Dogs. I'm going to go with form. I think there's no better basis to form your tip on than form. I think the Dogs are one of the form teams in the competition coming into this final series. Quarters, if you are Leon Cameron.
Mm-hmm. I know what this question is. Who does he go to?
Do you tag and who does he tag? Matty DeBoer.
Well, of course you do. You tag with Matty DeBoer. So your choices are Bontempelli, McRae, Dunkley. They're the first three you'd think about.
Maybe Hunter as a fourth.
Well, I'm thinking Hunter's because this is what we were talking about earlier. It's the Ross Lyon theory. Tag who you think you can tag out of the game, not who you're wasting a tag on.
Yeah.
He did go to Bontempelli late in the season, but it was his first game back after some time out.
And he got a clip.
So he might go back onto him. I'm going to say he goes to Bontempelli early. I'd like to see, and then they'll have a plan B and probably a plan C, I reckon. It's a beautiful midfield, that Dogs one.
Knowing Matty DeBoer, and obviously we're quite familiar with him because he played for so long at Fremantle. One, he will embrace whatever role he is given because he's just the consummate team man. Mm-hmm. But two, he would absolutely love another crack at Bontempelli.
Yeah, he would.
He would. Like, Matty DeBoer is the sort of guy he'd be thinking, he got me, I can get him. So it'll be interesting to see which way Cameron goes.
If he does do that, you might find Toby Green having some role as well in that middle. Just, you know, ruffling a few feathers.
So, of course, the flip side is, as you mentioned, the stoppage game and whether the Doggies can stop the Giants' tall forwards. That's going to be where they're going to be stretched, isn't it? You know, with Finlayson, Cameron and Himmelberg all able to mark the ball. And this is the one area of the Bulldogs they still have to round out and flesh out to be a real premiership contender.
They do. That's if it's on the Giants' terms. Of course, they've scored averaged 116 points the last four games, the Dogs. So if that average continues, it's not going to be down there much.
No.
So it's going to be an intriguing game. I think the Giants win. I think if the Dogs, it's funny because I think if the Dogs won, they could go deeper than the Giants can.
Yeah, I agree. I think if the Giants win, I suspect it's going to be a second week exit for the Giants.
I reckon the other teams will be hoping it's a Giants win.
Yeah, well, certainly, look, if and we'll get onto this because this is our next game. If Richmond loses, they're not going to want to play the Bulldogs.
No,
they don't have a great track record against the Bulldogs.
Absolutely not. Oh, I think they will. Nice segue again into the last game. Saturday night at the Gabba, Brisbane v Richmond, the second qualifying final.
Just in case you're in any doubt, I'm on the Dogs.
Yeah, I'm on the Giants. I'm going to pick Brisbane to win this. I think how the finals will pan out, I think that Brisbane will get this one at the Gabba. They have got a great record, 10-1 there this year. So they've got a great record. They play the ground well. I think they win this. I think they play Richmond on grand final day. And Richmond win. That's what I'm tipping early. But I think Brisbane win this. Again, it's a bit similar to the Giants Dogs. And we know what Richmond plays, that chaos frenetic game, surge it forward at all costs. And the Lions like to play the stoppage game as well. So it's going to be really interesting. You know, they were jumped by Richmond when they played them a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And then it was on even terms. And they won most of the key categories after that.
It was basically a half ball game from quarter time on.
So I think it's... There'll be a real focus on the first quarter here. And there'll be a real, and we've obviously the key being getting Charlie Cameron off the Dylan Grimes chain.
Yes. Well, I think the umpires will do that for them.
Yeah, well, I know that Chris Fagan did get on the front foot a couple of weeks ago.
The difference between Dylan Grimes, and let's face it, all the great defenders, one of the knacks of being a great defender is to almost give the free kick away without actually triggering free.
That's how I viewed it.
But... if he does that again with the noise of affirmation of 36,000 fans at the Gabba, I think Charlie Cameron's going to get freeze.
Okay.
And if you go back to that game at the MCG 2 weeks ago, Charlie got zero freeze for and two freeze against. I think we'll see something more like 3-4 and one against.
And if he does keep him on that chain early, it'd be interesting to see what they do with him. Maybe play him a little bit higher, try and get him away. That's a really, really important.
Well, maybe they have to use Charlie Cameron to try and disrupt Richmond's defensive structure. And that might be, as you mentioned, you should be a coach, Quarters. Shift him up the ground. Maybe play Link McCarthy a little bit deeper and see if he can disrupt them. He plays a little bit differently.
Yep.
So, that's maybe something they can
do. Forward line didn't function that well against the Tigers last time. Of course, at the other end, you've got Riewoldt and Lynch. So we expect, obviously Adams and Andrews will go to those two.
Yep.
Probably in that order.
And Darcy Gardner takes whatever's floating around.
So, I mean, that's the real, obviously, concern for Chris Fagan. But this is a final. This is a big final. We had a bit of an appetizer a couple of weeks ago, and it was a pretty interesting and intriguing game, and this will be the same. I think Brisbane gets them by about three kicks.
Yeah, I'm going to tip Brisbane. I'm with you. The other big question I reckon that Damien Hardwick's got to answer here, I think people are looking at Brisbane and they're saying, well, how do they measure up to Richmond? My question is, Damien Hardwick does not like to tag.
No. He's going to have to think about it here. So maybe Jack Graham, but who do you go to? I mean...
well, it's got to be Lachie Neale.
Yeah, or Zorko.
No, it has to be Lachie Neale.
Yep.
If Lachie Neale gets 51 possessions in this game, Brisbane wins.
Is he taggable?
I think someone like Graham, or depending on who they name, someone like Ross, that big-bodied mid who can get in alongside him and disrupt him at the stoppage, I think someone like that can put a dent in him. And what you're trying to do with... you're not trying to limit Lachie Neale to 15 touches because that's just not going to happen. You're trying to get him down to 25 or 26.
And pressuring those disposals he gets because he can be very damaging.
And making sure that when he handballs, because he's a great handball release player, making sure that his handballs are so hurried you can get pressure on the bloke that he handballs to. Because if he effectively releases players into space, that's when Brisbane really get their mojo going.
So you had a column last week, I think, or at the weekend, where you said Brisbane definitely the real deal, can win the flag. It's their first final since 2007. Will that play a role? 2009, sorry.
Yeah.
I think it will have some impact. Big stage, different type of game, pressure goes up. But there is a bit of finals experience out there.
Yeah.
We forget that.
Don't forget, Lachie Neale's played a lot of finals. Luke Hodges has played an enormous amount of finals. Charlie Cameron has played finals. So there's a smattering of finals experience around the place here.
It's going to hurt me, Duff, watching Hodgie run out there playing a final for another team.
Jared Lyons is another one who's played finals.
He has too,
So, they aren't without finals experience in this game, and they aren't without hope in this game. I like their chances. I think their home ground record suggests that unless you believe there's some magical thing that changes about footy because it's a final, and I think finals are different, but I don't think they're that different. And I think provided the Lions go on the ground thinking like that, okay, it's going to be a slightly enhanced version of what we've been doing very well at this ground.
Yep.
I think they can get the job done. Now, quarters, my take on the result of this one is that if Richmond win, Richmond is a clear flag favourite.
Absolutely. Has to be.
And if Brisbane win, I think Brisbane, Richmond and the winner of the Collingwood-Geelong game are your three flag favourites with not much separating them.
Yeah, I'm forecasting that it's going to be a bit like Hawthorn West Coast in 2015. I think Brisbane wins this one, Richmond gets them on GF day.
All right.
Now, I better give the answer to anyone out there who was, before we forget, the model number of the black showerhead was a Commando 450.
The Commando 450.
And I reckon it had 10,000 BTUs as well.
Well, we hope you had the time of your life. Thanks for joining us today. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch, and we'll be back on Tuesday to talk you through the results and ramifications of the first week of the 2019 AFL Finals.